It's good to be back. I was gone last week up in Athens, Georgia, and went up there, and so I missed being here. I missed worshiping with y'all, so it's good to be back together. If you have been here in the past few months or you haven't, then you know we took a sabbatical from a series in the book of Genesis. We had started in the book of Genesis and went through Genesis 1 and Genesis chapter 3, and then we did a couple of sermons on around Christmas. And so tonight we pick back up in Genesis chapter 4. And just to give you a quick recap of Genesis 1 to 3, what was said there. Genesis 1, we looked at God as creator, who created this earth as a theater to display his glory. And then we saw later on that God created man in his image and gave him the cultural mandate to be fruitful, to multiply, subdue the earth, and to fill it, and to rule over it. And God saw it was not good for man to be alone, so he created woman to have fellowship with the man. And then we saw that God created the Sabbath day as a day to delight and to enjoy and to rest in God. And then in chapter 3, we saw Adam and Eve in the garden in creation and their fall into temptation, their fall into sin. And that we have inherited that sin and that same pattern of falling into sin. And then we saw the effects of the fall, the effects of sin on Adam, man, and the effects of sin on Eve, woman. And tonight we pick up in Genesis 4, probably a familiar passage to a lot of you, Cain and Abel. Genesis 4, 1 to 16. But before we get in, last night, me and a couple of y'all that are in the audience, a couple of friends of mine were talking about top movies of all time, like our top five movies. And one movie that I didn't say is Tombstone. Tombstone would probably have to be in my top five movies. I love it. It's a guy's movie. Most women probably don't like it, but I love it. I love Tombstone. And there's a scene in Tombstone when Wyatt Earp and his brother come into the town of Tombstone, and they go into this bar slash casino, and they've always been involved in the law, and they don't want to be in law. They come into Tombstone. And so Wyatt sees this guy behind the poker table in the casino, and this guy just thinks he's bad. He thinks he's the man, and he's running everybody out. If somebody beats him at poker, he'll hit him. He'll intimidate him. He strikes fear in him. He won't let anybody else win. And so he's running them out of the casino, and Wyatt, kind of in his bravado, goes over right up to the guy and says, "You're in my seat." And the guy was like, "What?" I mean, this guy thinks he's the man. And this guy stands up and goes, "Do you know who you're talking to?" And Wyatt goes, "Yeah, I know who I'm talking to," and just hits him. And then this guy starts to bleed. And Wyatt looks at him and goes, "You going to do something? You're just going to stand there and bleed?" And the guy starts shaking. And then he reaches for his gun. And one of the best quotes of the movie says, "Go ahead, skin that smoke wagon." And the guy just sits there and freezes up. And Wyatt knew he wouldn't do anything. And Wyatt throws him out of the casino, takes his job, and then humiliates this guy. Humiliates him in front of everybody. And then the next scene, you see Wyatt, his brother, and Doc Holliday outside, and you see this guy who just got humiliated, who was the man. He was bad. And just got humiliated. He comes around the corner with his shotgun. He's getting ready to shoot Wyatt. And of course, you've seen the movie, you know, Doc Holliday embarrasses him again and shoots him off. But, you know, as I began to think about that scene, I began to go, man, isn't that often what tends to happen in our life? There's this pride that kind of comes, and there's this pride that gets wounded because we think we're something greater, deserving. Our pride gets wounded, and this anger begins to boil. You know, I was thinking, this is embarrassing for me to share, but I've shared it before. In seventh grade, there was a girl named Michelle Williams. As I began to think about this pattern, there was a girl named Michelle Williams who I had a crush on. And seventh grade, she was in eighth grade. And I liked Michelle Williams, and it was a day at recess. And us seventh grade guys were out playing basketball, all the fellas. And here comes Michelle Williams and all her girls. And I'm like, all right, so we go over, we start talking, and I'm always been kind of short, and I was sensitive to it. I was maybe 4'7" in seventh grade. I was short, and so we start talking. I like this girl, and so we start talking, and she goes, "Well, at least I'm not stumpy," and I mean, in front of all my boys, I was like, that wounded my pride, and without hesitation, I was like, "Well, at least I don't have a mustache," and she started bawling. And just turned around and ran back into the school. And I was like, "Yeah, that's right." My pride was wounded. It led to anger, and it led to an action. And tonight, that's what we're going to look at in Genesis 4. We're going to see that there's oftentimes this deep-rooted pride in us as people. And when that pride is wounded, it leads to an anger. This anger begins to boil, and that anger can lead to an action. So before we get in, let me pray. For this is God's word, and we need to hear it. So Genesis 4, 1 to 16, let me pray for us before we get in. Oh Lord, you are good. You are good, and your love endures forever, and we are in need, Lord, to hear the Word of God, and we know and we claim the promise of Isaiah that Your Word does not return void. So, Lord, will You fulfill and accomplish Your purpose in our hearts, in our minds tonight, as Your Word is proclaimed. Lord, I am in need to hear this, as I've been convicted even this week, often of this pattern in my life. And so, God, would we learn from Your Word? Would You instruct us and teach us? Point us into Christ. And it's Your name we pray. Amen. You have your Bible or your brochure, or it's on the screen. Genesis 4, 1 to 16. We're not doing all the way to 26, just to 16. Let me read it for us. You can look up here if I'm not in your way, or you can look in your bulletin or your Bible. Genesis 4, 1 to 16 says, Adam lay with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel, he brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over. And the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. As we look at this tonight, there are three things we're going to focus on, three things that we're going to see from this passage in Genesis 4. We're going to look at wounded pride, angry slaying, and crying blood. Three things: wounded pride, angry slaying, and crying blood. Wounded pride, let's look at the first thing together. Wounded pride, you can see this from verses 1 to 4, the wounded pride, and obviously it's pretty apparent from the get-go. The wounded pride that we're talking about is the wounded pride of Cain. The wounded pride of Cain. But before we can get into the wounded pride of Cain, we need to go and ask the question, who's Cain and who is Abel? Who are they? And in looking at that, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at the names of Cain and Abel and their jobs, the names and the jobs of who they are. So Cain, if you look at verse 1, it says that Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She gave birth to Cain. Cain in Hebrew, it means literally possession. It means possession. Now, if you've got to remember in Genesis 3:15, if you were here, that Genesis 3:15 was the first proclamation of the gospel, the first proclamation that there will come a seed from Eve who will crush the head of the serpent. And so we had that picture. And so Eve is awaiting this promise that from her will come a seed who will crush the head of the serpent. And so she bears Cain, a boy, and she names him possession. Possession. And then look what she says. And she rejoices. She says, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. You can hear the joy in the voice of Eve. And what Eve is saying is, I have possessed the promise of the Lord. That's what Eve is thinking. I have possessed this promise. The Lord said that from me a seed would come who would crush the head of the serpent. He is here. The prized possession, Cain. So his whole life, he heard Cain, he knew it meant possession. And with the name kind of came this is pride, possession, Cain. And look at the job of Cain. If you look in verse 2, it says, Cain worked the soil. Cain worked the soil. He was the tiller of the ground. He provided the produce from the ground. He provided for the rest of mankind, Adam and Eve. He provided as he worked the ground. So Cain, possession, prized possession, provider. I mean, he was mighty, mighty Cain. This is who Cain is. Look at Abel. Verse 2, later, Eve gives birth to his brother Abel. She doesn't rejoice. She doesn't go, oh great, another son, Abel. She just says, gives birth to Abel. She doesn't even respond. You don't even hear her say anything. Abel in Hebrew means vanity, vapor. It literally means vanity or vapor. And scholars differ on why exactly they named him vanity or vapor, but I don't want to look at that. What I want to look at is, imagine your name being vanity or vapor. They call you, hey, vanity, hey, vapor. That's your name. Automatically with the name comes humility. Vapor. I'm nothing. Cain, hey, possession. Pride. And so Abel, vanity, vapor. What's the job of Abel? Abel, in verse 2, says, Abel kept the flock. Abel was a shepherd, which most of you probably know during these times was a lowly job. It was a humble job to tend the sheep. But this was Abel's job was. Abel was humble in name and job. Cain, possession, provider. There was a sense of pride about them. And then in verse 3, look, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought forth. And then in verse 4, Abel brought forth. They both brought forth an offering. They both brought forth an offering. Look at the difference in their offerings here. Look in verse 3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. I picture Cain here, a prized possession, Cain, provider, and it comes time to give his offering to the Lord. And he's got this pride that is welled up inside him because who he is and his name and his job, and it's time to offer to the Lord, and he gives some of his first fruits to the Lord. He gives some of his fruits to the Lord. Just some. Now look at Abel. Look at the difference here. But Abel, in verse 4, brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. He brought fat portions of the firstborn. Abel, humble, vapor, sheeper, keeper of the sheep. He brings the very best. The fat portions of the firstborn. He gives the very best offering to the Lord. The very best in his humility. His Lord, here's my best. Cain in his pride says, Lord, here's some. Here's some. If you go further down, you see that the Lord had regard for Abel, but did not have regard for Cain. That the Lord had regard for Abel, but did not have regard for Cain. I don't know if the Lord knew what he was thinking. I mean, what's the Lord thinking? This is Cain. I mean, possession, prized possession. I mean, why is the Lord favoring Abel, the smaller brother, keeper of the sheep? And here's Cain, provider, mighty Cain. And the Lord favors Abel over Cain. I think probably for the first time in Cain and Abel's life is Abel favored over Cain. For the first time, Cain is not regarded as high as Abel. He's not regarded as high as Abel. And the pride that was there in Cain is wounded. Because the Lord had regard for Abel over Cain. His pride was wounded. You know, last year I read a book called I Am Charlotte Simmons by an author named Tom Wolfe. He's a pretty famous author. But in this book, I Am Charlotte Simmons, this is about a girl who's from a rural mountain town in North Carolina. And she's from this town, and she's very smart, pretty kind of in a non-made-up way. And she goes off and gets a full ride to DuPont University, which DuPont is like the equivalent of Yale. And Charlotte's very nervous as she enters in to DuPont. She doesn't know what to expect from the campus life. And as she's there, she begins to cave in more and more to the pressures of the campus life. And as she begins to cave in, more and more people begin to pay attention to Charlotte. The intellectuals begin to pay attention to her. The jock on the basketball team begins to like her and pays attention to her. And the coolest guy in the coolest fraternity begins to like her and ask her out. And throughout this book, as it goes on and on, there's this phrase that Charlotte begins to repeat over and over to herself. As people begin to pay attention and approve of her, there's this line that Charlotte keeps saying that says, I am Charlotte Simmons. I am Charlotte Simmons. This basketball player likes, I am Charlotte Simmons. Intellectuals begin to, I am Charlotte Simmons. And as I began to read that, I began to go, can we not relate? Can we not relate to that? How often is there such a pride that is deeply rooted in us? And we think there's something great or mighty about us. And it causes me to go, I am Daniel Mason. Recognize, I'm Daniel Mason. Think about it. You're driving in traffic. Driving down the road, someone cuts you off. What are you doing? I'm Daniel Mason. I'm going somewhere. Don't you know? I've got important places to be. I am Daniel Mason. Or take, someone doesn't listen to you. Someone doesn't listen to you. And you go, I am Charlotte Simmons. You better listen to me. Listen to me when I talk to you. Is that not right? Or some girl's talking about you. You hear her talking to me. You get fired up because I'm Charlotte Simmons. They don't talk about me. Don't talk about me like that. I am this way. Or they didn't do what they said they were going to do. I'm Daniel. You better do what you tell me you're going to do. I mean, there's this pride that wells up within us. There's a pride that is there. And oftentimes, we're like Cain. When someone does something against it, it wounds us. It wounds our pride. It wounds our pride. And so the first thing that we see here in Genesis 4 is the wounded pride of Cain. The wounded pride of Cain. The second thing that we're going to look at is the angry slaying. the angry slaying. Look at verses 5 to 8. Verses 5 to 8. In verse 5, it says, "The Lord had favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not have favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast." Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And in verse 6, the Lord comes and goes, "Cain, why are you angry?" I mean, obviously, the Lord knows why Cain's angry. We saw it in the garden. Adam was hiding, and the Lord goes, "What have you eaten from the tree?" The Lord is provoking them to realize what is taking place in their own heart by questioning them. And so he questions Cain. He goes, "Why are you angry?" And so Cain begins to think more and more about why he's angry. And we saw the reason that Cain is angry is because his pride has been wounded. Go back to my analogies. You're cut off. You're driving, cut off in traffic. I am Daniel Mason, wounded pride. And then what happened? Good night. You get up on their tail. I'm going to show them. Or you start yelling at them. You may do something else. You know, whatever it may be. There's an anger that begins to boil. There's an anger that begins to boil. Or for me, this is kind of one for me. Say there's like a basketball game at LA Fitness. This guy gets picked above me. I'm Daniel Mason. I'll show you during the game. I get angry. I'm going to show them. Wounded my pride, I'm going to show them. Or don't listen to you. I am. And then there's this anger that kind of begins to boil and begins to fester. You don't show me respect, I am. And it begins to boil. This anger begins to boil. And this anger for Cain and this anger for us leads to slaying. It leads to murder. Look here. In verse 7, we see that the Lord warns Cain. In verse 7, it says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Its desire is to have you, but you must master it." He warns Cain. This Cain is crouching at your door. This anger is boiling. Your pride's been wounded. And if you're not aware, it's gonna rule over you. It's going to rule over you. And obviously, we see in verse 8, Cain did not give heed to the warning of the Lord. And in verse 8, it leads to the murder. It says, "Now Cain said to his brother, let's go out to the field." And while they were out there, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. And killed him. Wounded pride of Cain led to the angry slaying of his brother Abel. Led to the angry slaying of his brother Abel. Again, my analogies of take a new one. Your parents get divorced. You could be little. Your parents get divorced. I am their son, their daughter. What are they thinking? Anger boils. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to ignore them. It's an angry slaying. Angry slaying of your parents. Or children don't obey. Don't they know I'm their dad, I'm their mom? They better obey me. Anger boils, and you can either spank them. I'm not a parent, but I've experienced this. You can either spank them out of anger or punish them out of anger and not out of love, because this anger boils and you act upon it. Or you don't listen to me, I am. Anger begins to boil. I'm not going to listen to you. I don't care. You don't show respect, I am. Wounded pride. Anger boils. I'm not going to show you respect. I'm not going to show you respect. It's the same pattern in our life. Wounded pride leads to this angry slaying. We're all, Matthew 5 says, if anybody gets angry or gets angry at his brother, he has committed murder in his heart. He's committed murder in his heart. We all go on angry killing sprees all the time. Whether it be to your friends, your classmates, whether it be to your wife, your husband, your children, our pride gets wounded, anger boils, and we lash out, and we slay, we murder, and we shed blood. We shed blood. So the two things we've seen, the wounded pride of Cain, the angry slaying of Abel. And the third thing that I want us to look at is the crying blood. The crying blood. Look in verses 9 to 16. The crying blood. It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" I mean, you can hear the anger still there. I mean, lashing back out at God, he's still angry. And then verse 10, the Lord says, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." And the blood of Abel cried out against Cain, declared him guilty, condemned him for the murder. And the Lord saw this. So the voice of your brother's blood cries out in condemnation and in guilt of you. And then the Lord, you go on down into verse 16, won't look at it, but the Lord begins to show Cain there are consequences for his sin. He will no longer yield produce from the land. He'll be a wanderer on the earth. There are consequences. And then Cain goes, "Lord, this is too much. This is too much for me." And then in verse 15, we see that even though there's consequences for sin, there's consequences to Cain, there was still grace offered to Cain. Because Cain's, "Lord, this is too much. I will be killed. I'm going to get killed." And then in verse 15, it says, "But the Lord said to him, not so. Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." The Lord says, There'll be grace and there'll be mercy. Even in your sin, even in the murder of your brother, no one will kill you. There's grace and there's mercy. Us, Cain, wounded pride, angry slave. We, in our pride, in our anger, have led one to death. We have murdered multiple people, but there's one who we led unto death, whose blood does not cry out against us, but one whose blood cries out for us. One whose blood cries out on our behalf. Look at in verse Hebrews 12, 24. If you think I'm making this up, I love this verse. When I read this, I was like, it just struck. Hebrews 12, 24 says, "To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood of Christ that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Let me read that again. "To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." A better word than the blood of Abel. We, in our wounded pride, in our angry slaying, have one whose blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. We have a greater Abel. We have a greater Abel. Do you see this? We have a greater Abel whose life also was a vapor. 33 short years. 33 short years. We have a greater Abel who also was a shepherd, but the great shepherd, the keeper of us, his sheep, and who went unto the cross and spilled his blood so that it would not cry out against us and in condemnation of us, but that would cry out, "Forgiven, paid for, blood bought, purchased. You are mine. You are now my possession." The blood of Christ cries out for us as the greater Abel. This is good news. And so, what's application for us as His people? Application for us is verse 7. Sin is crouching at your door. You must rule over it. And you may be sitting there going, "Okay, Daniel, you tell me, I hear I'm supposed to rule over and master sin, but oftentimes I feel like it masters me. I feel like it rules over me. How in the world am I to master sin?" Or our call. This is our call. This is the Christian life, is repent. Repent. Repent of pride. If you see it, repent of the pride. If you see anger begin to boil, repent of anger. And in anger, and in the repentance of the anger and the pride, turn unto the greater Abel and believe on His blood that was spilled and poured out for you and for me. And look to the one who bore our anger and our pride, who went humbly, meekly unto the cross. Thankfully, we have a great shepherd, who didn't get angry at us when we struck Him. We had a great shepherd who was not prideful and thought He did not have to go to the cross, but He was humble and went unto the cross and spilled His blood on our behalf. And so, right now, tonight, you could be sitting there, and as I've given these different examples that are all different, there may be instances in your life of relationship that have been going on for a long time where your pride has been wounded and you've been angry and you're murdering in your heart. And your murdering can be different. It could look different. Not all of us lash out. It could be a full frontal attack on somebody, or it could be a silent thwarting and murdering. Either way, there could be a relationship for you that has been ongoing where your pride has been wounded and you're just murdering over and over and over again. Or there could be times this week where you've seen your pride wounded. Someone did, and you were, "I am," and you acted out. Our call is to repent. To repent and look to Christ, the great shepherd. The great shepherd, who's a greater Abel, whose blood speaks better than the blood of Abel, cries out on our behalf. My prayer is that we would hear and rejoice with the hymn that says, "There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, drawn from Christ with us, and sinners plunged beneath the flood of Christ's blood lose all their guilt and in their shame." And as we rejoice in that, instead of pride, we will be people of humility. And instead of anger, we will be people of peace. And instead of murdering, we will lift others up and love others well. So our call, repent of this wounded pride and this angry slaying that we go on, and believe on Christ. And believe on Christ. Let me pray for it. Lord, we come, and Lord, I'm in need. Even this week, as I've thought and talked to friends about oftentimes my reaction and the way I respond to even my family and to people that I know and love, Lord, I get my pride wounded because I think I'm something great. I think I'm deserving. When my pride is wounded, Lord, this anger boils. And sometimes for me, God, it's full frontal and I lash out, or sometimes it's silence and I just ignore and I'm going to murder silent. And Lord, I confess this. And Lord, I pray if there are people here tonight, Lord, that maybe for the first time in their life have never believed on Jesus Christ and believed on His blood. And they're here tonight, and we all can relate because we're all sinful, Lord. We all have pride, and we all go on angry, murdering sprees. But, Lord, there are people here tonight possibly that don't know You and don't have a genuine faith. And, Lord, they have blood that cries out against them, that condemns them, for they don't believe in the blood of Christ who cries out on their behalf. And so, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that does not believe and have a saving faith in Jesus Christ, they would believe in Christ, the greater Abel. And I pray for us, Lord, Your church, Your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters, Lord, I pray that we would look and marvel at Jesus Christ, who was not angry, who did not give us the death that we deserved, but was humble and was meek and spilled His blood so that He could cry out for us. Oh, God, would we relish in that? Would we love that? Would we see that, Lord, the fountain of the blood of Christ that was spilled for us, we are plunged beneath it. There's no guilt. There's no shame. But we live in freedom to love and to be at peace and to be humble before You. I pray that would be representative of us, Your church. In Your name we pray. Amen.